American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it's a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Wednesday, April 27th, 2005. And that means it's hump day. That means that you get to use this program to get you through your week and on to the next week and basically just survive the remaining 2 days that are left in, well, this week. Because this is Newsreel, your source for independent media news that will give you the edge against the corporate political tyranny that is trying right now to enslave you. Or maybe you are unfortunate enough to already be enslaved by corporate political tyranny. Ask yourself right now, stop, take a big step back, ding, 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 and go, am I currently enslaved? Actually, but you'd enunciate it better than I did. You'd say, am I currently enslaved? Am I currently a member of a slave working class? And I think you will find that a great many of us will say, yeah, we are. And how do you know if you're a slave? You're a slave if you can't drop everything and walk away right now. If you are not free, and most of us are given a prison of the mind, a prison we cannot see or touch or smell. It's the ultimate prison. It's the economic prison, which most of us have been caught inside of. But don't you worry. Don't you worry. There are things you can do to free your mind from the tyranny which is going on around you. One of the things you can do is you can follow along with all news stories by going with me to my live journal. It's not much, but hey, it's something. You can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. Once you're there, you'll be able to follow along with my daily template. You'll be able to see all the different stuff that I do. As well, you'll be able to get all these wonderful news stories to back up to make sure that I am just not another person lying to you. You know, it'll be time to turn the page when you hear me say, welcome to the desert of the real. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, 76 Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, and another victim has been fallen to the virus of Newsreel. That's right, it would be OspreyRadio.info. OspreyRadio.info, welcome aboard. And to all our listeners over there who've just logged in, you're going, what the hell is going on and who is this guy? Well, my name's Sean Kennedy. I am the fucking man, and this is Newsreel, and you are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. You can do whatever you like with it. You can you can upload it, you can download it, you can burn it to discs, you can make it into frisbees, you can make coasters out of it, you can mislabel it and leave it in your friend's CD collection, you can have it stolen in your laptop, you can leave it out to be stolen, wrap it up like a gift present, leave it on the car seat and wait for some thief to come by and steal it. Maybe you'll save his life. You never know. It could help with, you know, things that are going on in his day-to-day life, you know, breaking into cars and stuff like that. I don't have any car breaking in tips or tricks, and generally I hate car thieves, but, you know, it's the thought that counts. Let's get into some feedback. Dear Sean, a couple days ago, you reported on a company that controls the GM-branded credit cards having information stolen from them that could be used to steal my identity, run up bills on my card. True. So as any reasonable person would, I called the company to have my account frozen, a state in which no more charges can be applied to my card. Well, yeah, why not? Now, the good part of this is they refused to freeze my account. What? It's your account. How can they refuse to freeze it? They told me that they never freeze accounts. In other words, I'm just fucked. The soulless minion of the phone assured me that about six times that my information was not one of the accounts affected. I told her I didn't care. I just wanted my account frozen. Finally, she changed the subject. Well, since you're obviously familiar with identity theft, we have this insurance policy. I responded, I don't believe in insurance. I think it's a ripoff. And without repeating the whole conversation that you asked my account number and changed, and I'm now looking for a new company to hold my enslavement stuff. And that was from Wagga War. Well, that's awesome, you know. And it's important, you know, it'd be better if you could get rid of credit cards altogether. I think that people should just ditch credit cards and go straight back to cash. Never a borrower nor a lender be. Truer words were never spoken. Let me tell you, the entire debt load thing is just the biggest manipulation weapon that they have. They're not really, well, they're getting close to being able to beat us down in the streets. They're getting close to being able to just kill us outright, you know. But until they really cross that last and final line, Well, it's going to be the credit cards. It's going to be credit is what they're going to use to put us down and keep us down. So bear in mind that if you can get away without using a credit card, make sure that you can do that. Because, boy, let me tell you, there's nothing positive about those credit cards. They are just like legalized loan sharks. That's all those things are. Dear Sean, I nominate Ecuador as the South American WOG refuge. You may remember the other day I asked about what South American country should we all run to and make sure that we can, you know, take over, you know, set up a nice little Jonestown down there. It'll be cool. Start serving Kool-Aid. I can point you to several coastal fishing villages that are fairly permanent and delicious protein sources and offshore for Sim's sake. Oh, offshore and offshore animal and vegetable for Sim's sake. Yeah, well, that's if Sim goes to Ecuador, which I don't know if he'll go. The dollar store goes a long way, and they follow foreigners. Oh, pardon me, the dollar store. The dollar goes a long way in Ecuador, and they allow foreigners to set up security forces with fully automatic weapons. Hey, that's handy. Yeah, politics are a bit wonky right now, but all South American politics are wonky. Another big plus is all American Air Force bases down there provide air cover in a pinch if the price is right. And that was from Maps. Well, okay, so far, for our WOG, you know, security stronghold we're thinking about building in some third world nation somewhere, I guess we'll have to consider Ecuador. After we get in there, naturally, we have to make sure they have a good shipping port so we can ship down our CNC machines so I can get Enki down there to start building us Mecca, as well as Cybertech and anybody else who wants to come along and start with the actual Mecca building. That way, when they eventually do come for us at Hunker Downs here in Ecuador, we will have our Mecca in which we can stand up and say, no, 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 we are all peaceful here, and if you don't want to be peaceful, that's cool. Too. Let's get into Sort Yourself Out. I have a two-part Sort Yourself Out today. This is a very, very, they're both kind of the same question, and I get these a lot. Now, in no way are these, I'm not trying to single these guys out. Well, I guess I am, because I'm reading their emails. But I'm referring to what they are talking about here, not to them individually, because a lot of people have these problems. So I think it should be applicable to everyone. Part one. Dear Sean, lately I've been wanting to work out. However, the thing is, I fear walking outdoors alone. The main fear is either to get lost or be forgotten or get geeked and thrown into a ditch somewhere to rot. I have a terrible memory, 5 times out of 10, and at times I become incredibly nervous. I guess I've been conditioned by watching TV. I used to be a real believer in TV before I found Rant Radio a year ago. I have no real data on my location either. I don't have a map currently, nor a printer to print this one out. Another problem is I haven't gotten any kit together, seeing as my parents only have $11 to the name and I am 14. I have no idea what to do. Please help me. Wow, that's hardcore. Okay, let's get to part two. Part two. Dear Sean, as of late, I find myself literally recoiling horror on my bedroom floor due to the magnitude of the injustice that I've witnessed and read about on a daily basis. I feel a sense of helplessness and have a hard time coping with it. I always rebound each time, but it's getting harder than before. I've managed to make my brother aware of what's going on through conversation. I'm not ready to give up. I'm getting prepared, getting kit and whatnot. Myself and my friend, who I find is indifferent and selectively caring, often doubt whether he'd lift a finger to prevent me from being mugged, are trying to arrange for the release of a quarterly newsletter reporting on issues that are really affecting the people. Basically, the traditional news media won't report. However, I often doubt the effect this would have on the Prozac nation that we live in today. Any advice would be helpful. Okay, now, guys, and obviously I'm withholding, this is not intended to hack on these people, but people, dude, we need to stop being afraid, okay? Everyone is terrified all the time, and they're depressed all the time. You kind of get a little bit bulking about this sort of thing. What is it that everyone is afraid of? Exactly. Like, what are you afraid of? What is it exactly that you're reading the news and you're like, oh my God, and then you get depressed? And I understand that because, you know, there's a lot of bad things happening in the world and all the rest of it, right? But usually people are horrified. You know, they're like totally depressed or they're terrified that something bad is going to happen to them. Now, the worst thing that's going to happen to you is that you're going to die. That is the worst thing. I mean, we're all going to die anyway, but I mean, you're going to die or you're going to get horribly crippled, live in pain and all the rest of it, in which case you could check yourself out, in which case you would die. So if the worst thing that can happen is that you die, what's the problem? I mean, you're going to die anyway, right? And if you are trying as hard as you can to make a difference and make things better, and it doesn't make any difference, but you tried as hard as you can, there's no shame in that. So there's no reason to be afraid. Fear is what happens when you're not educated. If you want to ditch fear, replace fear with education and information, and fear will dissolve in the morning light, dude. There's nothing you can do, okay, to make things better if you're terrified all the time. If you're living in fear, then, well, you're screwed. You know, you got to get past this fear thing. And the way you get past the fear is to, number one, accept the fact that one day you're going to die and just become comfortable with that and just live as best you can. You know, stand up and fight. Be you know, aware of the fact that, you know what, there's not a respawn. It's not going to happen, but that's okay because I'm going to live my life and go forwards with this. If you read, there's a great book. Book of the Five Rings by Morishi Yusubi. No. By Miyamoto Musashi, who was a samurai who lived a while ago in Japan. Apparently, he's like the big kensai. He's the big sword saint down there who, was pretty much the king with the old samurai sword. He wrote a book talking about warrior mindset, mindset of the man, and all that kind of jazz. So it's called The Book of the Five Rings. And if you get a chance, guys, check that out to get your mindset right. Because if you don't got the right mindset, yeah, you bet the world's going to eat you up. We are in a crazy transitional time right now. Everybody says that. The scientists are saying that. The globalists are saying that. Religious nuts are saying that. Everybody's saying that. You know, even I'm saying that we're in a transition time right now. And it's something that we have to be aware of and we have to be prepared for. You can't just, you know, roll over onto your back and go, oh, God, I'm going to hide in the closet. Well, I guess you could. But, I mean, this is all part of the life experience. If you hit the ground here, okay, you're alive, man. You're alive. We're experiencing life at this particular point in time. That's a great thing. What an exciting time to be alive. We got more cyberpunk stuff happening every day than ever before. If you focus on the negative stuff that's going on, okay, and just think about that, then, yeah, you're going to be going nowhere fast. You're going to wind up a bucket monkey. But if you focus on the cool stuff that's happening and use that to augment the bad, you know, use that to make yourself feel a little bit better, which sounds bad to say that, you know, oh, well, you know, well, it's not happening to me, and I understand that, and it's bad that it is happening, but at least it is not happening to me. Maybe I can make a difference, and I have a responsibility to make a difference, being as I live in a first world nation and have command of the English language. Buddy who's 14 there, dude, you need a job. If your parents are, well, broke and they haven't got any cash, then you better, you know, don't curse the darkness. Light a candle, chief. See what you can get in the way of some work, even if you're helping a neighbor or something for a couple bucks a week. If, you know, you're 14, you need to get your head sorted out because you've still got some time going on. You know, you're a ways away from, you know, having to really be in the really real world. So just hunker down, you know, wait out, see what's going on. Figure out where you're at in the world, and then, you know, don't stress so much. I don't want anybody getting all freaked out because of this show. There's a lot of stuff that's happening, but this show is intended to be a show of hope, not to be, you know, some horribly depressing thing. Now, on that note, let's get into some news where the NBAA and RIAA are now releasing Black Ice onto the internet. I can't believe this. This is... Now, check the spin they put on this story, okay? This is so obvious that the RIAA and the NBAA are behind this. It's not even funny. Vigilante virus writers, yeah, okay, totally no connection here, have launched an offensive against file traders with the release of a worm that deletes MP3 files on infected PCs. Yeah, because you know virus writers are all about getting rid of the peer-to-peer networks. The NoPeerB worm, which appears to have originated in France, poses on P2P networks programs to make copies of commercial DVDs. In reality, the application offers no such function. Instead, it attempts to delete MP3 music files on infected PCs. NoPeerB also attempts to disable various systems, utilities, and wipe.com programs whilst displaying anti-piracy graphic. Aha! NoPeerB only affects Windows machines. The article goes on to say here, the NoPeerB worm targets people believed to be involved with piracy but fails to discriminate between true criminals and those who have legally obtained MP3 files. Whichever side of the fence you come down on regards to internet privacy, there's no debate about the criminal nature of this worm, said Graham Cutler, senior technology consultant of Sophos. Malware capable of zapping MP3 files is rare but not unprecedented. The Klez F worm, for example, was widespread in 2002, overwrote MP3 files and other file types on certain days of the month. The Scrambler worm was programmed to scramble MP3 files to sound like they scratched record, while the My Life G worm overwrote MP3 files with the words, my life, I guess, whatever. So you're looking at, now the difference here is, though, is that this particular program, okay, spreads, the NoPeerB is slightly unusual in this category because it spreads through peer-to-peer networks, albeit modestly. Few copies of worm have been spotted and poses only a low risk, but this program displays an anti-piracy logo and then wipes out MP3 files on your machine. So who do you suppose is behind that? You know, what's the motive behind that? Now, it could be argued, what's the motive behind any virus? You know, what's the motive behind any virus? Well, it's true that some people just write viruses to infect machines, but I would, well, it's showing an anti-piracy logo and wiping out MP3 files on my machines. That is a malicious black ice data mine is what that is. And I'm like, okay, it's a low risk. You're not really going to affect a lot of people. Maybe the countercultural will roll with that. Maybe, you know, the MPAA and the RIA won't get into any shit. You know, they want to play hardball, and they want to get into the counterculture rule of things, okay? They want to go like, okay, guys, you want to go up, you want to do some wares? Let's give you guys some wares, little hacker people. Let's do that. You like that? Yeah. Well, the problem here is, of course, that we'll download this. And, of course, most of us don't use this program. That's why it's not circulating, because we've got really good things to rip our DVDs with. But nice try, guys. Nice try. You know, and if you leave mines like that floating around, all you're going to do is affect, like, newbies and like kids and script kiddies and anybody else who's gonna or maybe older people who don't know anything about computers. They get their computer and they're just getting involved, you know, the noobs. So that's what's gonna happen there, and you're gonna wind up deleting all the MP3 files and making a lot of enemies. Now the problem is, though, is that what happens if you come up with a more brilliant plan to delete everyone's MP3s and you start releasing it on the hackers and destroying all their data, which is really all that the counterculture, the WOGs, you know, we of the internet are all care about is just our data. We're not fucking with you, despite what you think. We're actually advertising for you, and now you're directly attacking our data. What do you suppose is going to happen if you keep this up? Huh? If you keep punching someone, eventually they're going to punch back. And people go, no, that's terrorism. No, 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 it's not really terrorism. It's self-defense. Okay, that's what that is. Now, it could be said that, well, look at America. America was bombing all these countries, and then America got bombs. You're saying that America had the right to get bombed, blah, blah, blah. We're not talking about bombs. We're not talking about bombing America. We're talking about crap online. We're talking about stuff that's totally virtual. Now, I don't want anybody to get killed. I don't want any wars going off, and I sure don't want any bombs going down. Okay? But we're talking about data here. Now, if they want to play a data war, fair ball. Bring it on, bitch. Because that's what's going to happen. You're going to wind up getting people. You think you got a problem now? Oh, no, 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 no. No, no, no. You keep releasing programs like this, and you'll see what the face can do, man. You don't want to do this. I would suggest that you take this idea and bin this to all the RIA, MPAA guys out there listening at this particular junction in time. It'd be really upsetting if a large monkey was found on your office desk, okay? Don't fuck with the creative pranksters, man. You'll really lose. We haven't really fucked with you yet. But if you keep this up, you're going to get fucked with. More war crimes. Now, the term war crime is kind of a double negative, isn't it? War and war crime is like saying no, don't, or I don't see no, you know, that kind of a thing. It seems like a double negative there. Military forces in Myanmar, wherever the hell that is, have been accused by international right groups of using chemical weapons on rebel fighters. Dun, dun, dun. The incident allegedly took place near the country's northwestern border and in Thailand. Oh, I see. In February, Christian Solidarity Worldwide said Thursday, some of the Karini rebels who've been fighting a long-running war with the country's military government described a yellow vapor with pungent and irritating odor. Sounds like mustard gas to me. The eyes started watering and they tasted a bitter odor followed by a burning sensation in their throats, said CSW's president, Australian physician Dr. Martin Panter, who traveled to the area to examine five of the rebel fighters. 30 minutes later, they began to cough up blood, blisters began to appear on their skin, and they were unable to walk. Wow. Some later suffered from blisters and acute diarrhea. They told Pander he believed the rebel symptoms were consistent with exposure to chemicals, including mustard gas. Hey, yeah, call that one. He said that he hoped the alleged attack would not be, quote, just another atrocity in the litany of human rights abuses that fall on deaf ears, end quote. Well, unfortunately, I guarantee that other than me reporting this, this isn't getting covered by mainstream media, and this is yet just another atrocity in the litany of human rights abuses that will fall on deaf ears. Nobody cares about war crimes. Let's be real. Nobody gives a flying shit about war crimes. That's why they left the death camps up. Because if they didn't leave the death camps up currently built in Europe, no one would talk about it. It would be forgotten. That's why they do go through huge effort to make sure the war crimes are not forgotten and that the people who died in that horrible atrocities that happened in those camps will not be forgotten. People don't care. Unfortunately, it's human nature. People do not care about war crimes or atrocities. I mean, we care. I mean, if we could flip our finger and, you know, solve the world's problems, we would. But if it involved us suffering to any degree, a great number of us would go, nah, forget it, whatever. It's not our problem. And that's the truth. Humans are naturally lazy. And I sometimes wonder why we're so lazy. Why is it that, you know, there's been huge, massive reports of UFOs, massive reports of abductions, and yet everyone's kind of like, oh, well, whatever. Sometimes I feel like, you know, we're all cows in this big corral, and then occasionally, you know, they come in and they take this cow away, and all the other cows get disturbed for a few seconds, and they're like, oh, well, I guess Bessie's gone. Move, smack! Your steak, Bessie! Now, let's get into a drone war update. United Defense Industries continues to expand its role in unmanned ground vehicles, programs, and technologies with an award of $30.9 million to U.S. Army Tank Automotive Research, Development, and Engineering Center, called TARDEC. Not TARDIS, TARDEC. Science and Technology Objective SDO Contract. So the TARDEC SDO. Jesus, they love their acronyms, eh? Under the ARV Robotics Technology Art Stow contract, ordered by the Army's Tank Automotive and Armaments Council, TACOM, Jesus, they got a lot of TACOM, Art Stow, Stokek, Stardust, C9, C8, United Defense will integrate state-of-the-art unmanned platform technologies, a leverage from Army and commercial developments into representative future combat systems. What does all that mean? They're building robots that shoot shit. The platform demonstrators will be used by the ART program to step forward traditional ART technologies. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Admiral, why do they do that? Jesus, I hate that. They're talking about giving this new automated drone technology huge funding, where they're building robots, essentially, for the purpose of killing people. Now, up until very recently, like, well, actually not very recently, but I honestly thought that somewhere that the robotic laws were actual laws. Like, that was some sort of standard or treaty or something that was somewhere, you know, Asimov's three laws. I thought that they were actually a pretty good idea. You know, but I guess maybe I was just being naive. Because, obviously, all of these robots, our number one robots now, our most advanced robots in the world, are being used to what? They're being used to kill people. Isn't it kind of sick and weird that we're building... Now, granted, they're not truly robots. They are drones. They do have a human integrated pilot. They have someone looking at the video game screen to press the button and kill the target, win the game, all from the bravery of being out of range. But still, they are robots, and they are, well, they're drones, they're robotic, and they're killing people. So I don't know, man, if we chase this on Moore's Law, start looking at some of the new technology that's coming out, you cross this in, what are we really looking at here? What is coming down the pipe? And what's coming down the pipe is the drone wars. We're gonna have robots killing robots, which, to be honest with you, I'm a lot bigger fan of that, but the problem is when the robots that kill the other robots get into the, well, the settlements, that's a pretty cowardly way to fight, and I think you discount the value of human life when you have robots just, you know, shelling out 40-millimeter grenades and dusting schoolyards. Just me, you know? I'd like to try to avoid that. Now, in the Cyberpunk Chromebook, Chrome Manual number 2, in fact, page 107 of the Cyberpunk manual, you will find that there is a body mod. Now, in Cyberpunk, if you do body mods, they're called an exotic. These exotic body mods that shape your body into whatever you want. You can look like a troll, or you can look like a spider would be considered a body mod, that kind of a thing. But on page 107, they have the body mod for a tiger. And I'm here to tell you, there's a guy who's doing this for real, and being as it's listed in the Cyberpunk manual, this is by far one of the most Cyberpunk stories I've ever reported on. The new exotic body mod, Tiger, a San Diego computer programmer who spent £100,000, that's like 250,000 tattoos, or $250,000 on tattoos and plastic surgery to turn himself into a tiger, wants to do a fur graft. Dennis Smith is tattooed from head to toe with orange and black stripes, and his teeth have been filed to needlepoint. They haven't been filed, dude. He's got augmentations and huge teeth. He's also had latex whiskers implanted, and surgery to his lips has permanent snarl. He now wants a surgeon to graft tiger fur onto his skin like a permawig. Mr. Smith, who has changed his name by Deadpool to Catman. So his name isn't Mr. Smith. His name is Catman. So Catman said, I have a collection of old tiger pelts from the days of hunting, and I wanted these grafted onto me. It'll cost another $100,000, but it'll be worth it. When I have a coat of a tiger, I will feel I have reached my goal in life. His fingernails have been crafted into sharp talons, while his hands have tattooed, making tiger paws. He says he feels like a tiger. The short back and side he sported at the University of California has been replaced by a long orange mane. He's also swapped his glasses for green contact lenses. Now, he holds down an $80,000 a year, 80,000 pound a year computer programming job, which enables him to fund the surgery, the Daily Record reports. Now, could you imagine going down to your software department, walking in there, and there's some dude who looks like a freaking tiger? A tiger, man. Like, you know, I guess it's this guy's freedom. You know, I can't say don't do that. I can look at him and say, dude, you are one crazy son of a bitch. But, I mean, wow. You know, before we out of hand dismiss this son of a bitch, I would say that, you know what, he's transhumanist. I mean, maybe he's not going forward in the evolutionary scale, but he's definitely evolving. He's turning into a tiger. And when you go look at the guy, he's turning into a crazy guy who thinks he's a tiger with some heavy pretending mods. But still, he's doing the, it's an extreme body mod, it's an exotic, it's a tiger. So, even though I don't understand it, even though I wouldn't do it myself, even though I would counsel my friends against doing this, it is his right to do that, and I say more power to you, Chief. More power to you. Only thing he needs now is some cybernetic implants to get himself some claws, some real claws, and we've got Catman, our very own superhero. Maybe he could fight crime. Would Catman please rise? Jesus, did you, like, this guy is right out there, and but he makes good money. I mean, he's living his life, doing his thing. What an exciting time to be alive, eh? Don't obsess about the stuff where the core political, sure, are going insane and everybody's getting beat down. But go watch Blade Runner a few times. Read about this Tiger Mod guy. You know, get together. Play some role-playing games. You know, that's another thing, too, is all you guys who are really, really, truly terrified, I highly advise picking up, like, an old copy of Cyberpunk or maybe, what are some other, Dark Conspiracy, Shadowrun, SLA Industries, even some of the modern-day Rifts-type games, and, you know, get together with your buddies and do some gaming, do some live-action role-playing so you get a sense of confidence. Figure out scenarios so you know what you do if things go sideways. You'd be surprised the confidence that role-playing games gives, guys. Really, and it's fun, it's social, it's a good way to interact with your friends, it's cheap, and it's easy. And you know what? There's no better way to suck down pizza and pop. I'm here to tell you, it's good, wholesome fun. Get yourself some dice and throw them, man. Have a good time. And I'm here to tell you, there's no better thing you can do for your brain. So, again, to handle fear and to make the world go away for a while, there's nothing better than role-playing games. And this kind of guy here, well, he's taking that whole LARP thing just a bit far. But that's his right, and God love him for it. So I say more power to you, Catman. Fucking A, Catman rules. Now, in the United Kingdom, even though they are a Gattaca nation, and they're scary, 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 their security there is still a joke. No big surprise. A Hampshire man found a sensitive Ministry of Defense plans on a laptop he was given at the dump. Martin Dunn, who's 31, my age, was foraging for computer parts when a woman gave him a bag containing a laptop she was about to ditch, the Sun reports. A subsequent investigation of the PC revealed 70 top-secret files giving details of contingency plans at Army and Navy base about what to do in the event of a terrorist attack. You know, it's amazing to me that the British would be this sloppy. I mean, these are the people that really invented intelligence and invented counterterrorism. This data should not have been so easily accessible, according to Peter Jacko, chief executive of encryption specialist Bcrypt. Mobile devices can easily be lost or stolen, so the data held on them should be encrypted to adhere to the Data Protection Act and to avoid compromise of national or individual security, he added. Well, no shit. Obviously, it's supposed to be encrypted. But obviously, the military is not training their people. You know why? Because the people in the army are there for a job. They're not there because they want to be there. That's why the keenest soldiers I have ever met have always been with the reserves, or in the United States, they'd be the National Guard. And the difference is because these people believe that what they're doing is fun and they love it. Now, if you were to get a bunch of Linux gurus in the Department of Defense, like let's say you had like a subcontract, where you had guys who were hackers, you know, and that's what they were. They came from the culture. They hit the 2600 meetings. They get scouted by someone like, say, oh, me. You know, all you FBI guys down there, I'm not the enemy. I'm really not. You know, if you guys really want to get the counterculture on your side, I can save you so much money. All you got to do is give me the cash to pay some people, and I will get you some solid people. And you never even need to know they're there. It'll be fire and forget. Things just automatically will begin to happen. You could have your very own secret, you know, inserted sort of no-contact executive thing here. That's my sort of plan. I think I could really make that work. I could scout things all over the nation there, go around RAND Media, be sort of like an intermediary contact. Of course, I wouldn't actually do any work, but I'd know people who did, and because of that, I'd be the contact, and of course, that would entitle me to a cut of the cash. Not much of a cut, but a cut. That's my plan. And then, of course, I could manipulate all the little hackers until finally we have a huge data force, which we can build our secret base in Ecuador and build flying cars and Mecca and wet wiring. And Catman will be there, too. Because, honest to God, because you imagine if Catman's actually a hacker, cops kick in the door, boom, get on the, holy shit! You know, it'd be great. I just love that shit. I really do. Now, apparently, adding to the insanity that the RIAA and the MPAA have going on in the world, adding to that absolute madness, it seems that piracy is on equal in punishment in the United States to manslaughter. Making a movie available electronically prior to its release can now result in a 3-year sentence, thanks to the Family Entertainment and Copyright Act approved Tuesday. Now, I reported on this. The Senate has already passed its own version, and the final bill is expected to be signed by the president. Which, of course, I'm sure he's going to go, whoa, no, this infringes on freedom. Well, it's possible. The bill also calls for 3 years in cases where a person is caught recording the movie in a theater with a camcorder. And 6 years for a second offense. But it also indemnifies the theater operator against all criminal and civil liabilities arising from detaining suspects in a reasonable manner. So that means that when the movie security shows up and grabs you, they could beat the shit out of you and smash your camera, provided it's considered reasonable. And let me tell you, I work in security, and there's a lot you can get away with saying that shit is reasonable, like an unbelievable amount, okay? And you're being detained by a bunch of clowns in the movie theater. Since involuntary manslaughter brings, on average, anywhere from 0 to 36 months, incarceration, one might well question the morality of going harder on those who trade files than those who negligently cut short the lives of fellow citizens. So you're going to get 36 months or for manslaughter. What are you in for? Manslaughter. What are you in for? Lord of the Rings. Oh. But the 109th Congress is about nothing if not morality, and it understands well the essential sacredness of the nation's ruling cartels. Previously, criminal laws protecting copyright had been designed to target major organized bootleggers doing serious damage, not individuals swapping files. The new legislation is designed to broaden the law to where almost anyone can now be treated as a hardcore criminal. And since we have seen the entertainment cartels using the civil courts to conduct a vendetta against file shedders in hopes of chastening them overall, one can expect the same examples will be made of small pry in these new, quite draconian criminal sanctions as well. Well, no doubt there. So it seems that you can either, like, piracy of films in theaters with a video camera, and I don't know about you, have you ever watched one of those? Like, I don't know why the MPAA is so incredibly terrified of this. Have you ever watched a film video, like the kind they take the camera in, they film the theater? They look like shit. They look like total shit. Okay, they look like hell. The sound is off. I mean, I am a movie junkie. And the last thing that I want to see is some movie like that. I mean, if I'm waiting a long time to see, I don't know, Star Wars or another Matrix film or whatever, I'm going to want to see it in the theater. I'm going to want to see it widescreen, big screen, or I'm going to want to download it. I'm not going to want to download it. I'm going to want to buy the DVD so I have the highest copy available, the highest quality available. I get the original CD, and then I'll put it on my head-mounted display or my Uber TV or whatever the hell it is. So, honestly speaking, the only people watching these shitty versions of these videotape movies are kids who can't afford to go to the theater, okay? And you know what? They're seeing a really shitty version, and if they like the movie, then they will buy the movie. It's a way to sample, okay? Why should you pay for a full meal if you don't know if you're going to be allergic to it or not? Okay? Because realistically speaking, it's insanity. And now we got them doing time, more time than people who kill people? At what point do we stand up and go, what in the fuck is going on? Anyway. It seems that also more information is being lost from us because the weather information might go dark. Do you want a 7-day weather forecast for your zip code, or an hour-by-hour predictions of temperature, wind speed, humidity, and chance of rain, or weather data beamed to your cell phone? That information is available for free from the National Weather Service, but under a bill pending in U.S. Senate, it might all disappear. Now, why would they do that? The bill introduced last week by Senator Rick Santorum would prohibit federal meteorologists from competing with companies such as AccuWeather, the Weather Channel, which offer their own forecasts through paid services and free ad-supported websites. Supporters say the bill wouldn't hamper weather services of the National Hurricane Center and alerting the public hazard. In fact, exempts forecasts meant to protect life and property. So, in other words, they're saying that, let's see how much they can pay for what they used to get for free. You know, I used to get the weatherman telling you stuff? Well, now You can't get that anymore. You can't just log in and get the weather information because you got to pay for it. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that just cherry? Well, you know, let me tell you something. If that comes through, I will start doing a weather forecast on this particular news broadcast to let you know what's going on, and I'll go right across the nation. I do not care. That is just absolutely disturbing. I'll be Sean Kennedy, media pundit, rant radio, shock jock, talk show host, and basic meteorologist. My God, you know? How much money can you milk out of people? Really? You people ought to be ashamed of yourselves. Honest to God. I don't know what these people are thinking. I really don't. I really have no idea why people would want to, you know, I mean, weather is useful for all sorts of people, okay? Everybody needs weather. Everybody, like, what if you're doing a trip or what if you're boating or something like that? I mean, my God, you're what? This is just, like, stuff that everyone should have. It's going too far. The core politicals have way too much power, and it's time for the government to stand up to these corporations. That's what it's time for. The government is not the enemy here. The government is the only weapon we have. So it's time for us to get on our government and say, all righty then, you know what? It's time to start taxing the living shit out of these core politicals. That's what I say. Now, check this out. Here's a story which is one of those kind of a disturbing trends before it emerges. Now, Listful sent me this, and I'm going to read you his email here. Listful writes, now, I may sound paranoid to me, but I think I'm onto something. The Republicans are divided. They've been bickering with each other all the time now. Terry Schiavo, Michael Bolton, and now this. The story between the Bolton issues is starting to show a huge rift between older and younger Republicans and soon tell how they rip themselves apart and the new political is formed. So if they're going to form a new political party out of the Republicans, it's an interesting point. What if there's going to be like this radical faction of Republicans? You know, the religious right of Republicans. Republican religious right, the three R's. What a scary concept. Senator Majority Leader Bill First will draw a this is the story that he sent me. This Senate Majority Leader Bill First will draw a chorus of amens tonight when thousands of evangelicals across the nation hear his call to put more conservative judges on a federal bench. Now, the thing is, what does the word conservative mean? That means religious. But even as the Tennessee Republican addresses Justice Sunday, a 90-minute simulcast to conservative churches that enthusiastically back a Senate's rule to speed judicial confirmations, the leader faces apprehension from another key GOP constituency. The country's leading business lobbying association, close GOP allies, and Reach's legislative efforts in political campaigns have told senior Republicans that they would not back the FRIST initiative to force votes on the president Bush's judicial nominees. Business leaders say they fear the move would lead to shutdown of the Senate action or long-awaited priorities, such as Democrats have threatened if FRIST moves ahead with the rule change that they say would drastically alter traditions of a body designed to respect the rights of a minority party. If we do that, then all else is going to stop, says Thomas J. Donohue, head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, said during a meeting with reports Friday. He then reeled off a list of business priorities that could be delayed for months in the resulting partisan uproar. He expressed the same concern directly to FRIST office on a recent day. Maybe Listful's onto something here, though. Maybe this is where we're going to see a divide inside the Republican Party. And you know what? That's not a good thing. Because as things start to shatter, as things start to fall apart, we need to focus on ourselves. We need to focus on making sure that we, as WOGs, look after our fellow WOGs. Because things are going to start to get weird. Things are going to start to get a little bit hairy. And what's always when things turn to absolute shit. Now, I wonder sometimes, obviously, when you look at the news and the state of the world, the amount of propaganda that's being fed to the media, it's pretty apparent that everybody wants to get everybody else freaked out. The ruling parties that control the media want the North American populace to be freaking out. Why is that? Why do you suppose the North American parties would want people to be freaking out? Why do you suppose that is? Well, let me tell you why. The reason why is because the more freaked out people get, the easier they are to manipulate and to accept some radical changes just for stability. So if they get everybody all terrified, oh my God, everything's messed up, we better get some hardcore religious right in here in order to sort everything out. We're going to need them in here to make sure we don't kill each other. That's what we need to do. Absolutely. Now, I'm really going to piss everybody off with this next story, especially Sam and those of you who don't happen to agree with me on my capital punishment sort of stance, which I believe that capital punishment is necessary. There are certain human beings on this planet that serve no justifiable purpose for existence. The number one species of this is, of course, pedophiles. I'm a big fan of pedicide. I think that all the pedophiles should be geeked immediately because the risk of having them alive in society is greater than the risk to individual freedom because these people are, like, sick and deranged and they rape little children, so they should be taken out of the equation. They prey on future generations. Does anyone else not see this? Hello? Well, here's some more justification for Sean's pedicide movement. Members of Congress Thursday were introduced to legislation that requires states to keep closer tabs on convicted sex offenders not behind bars. Well, why bother doing that with the added cost? Just take them out. The legislation would be called the Jessica Lunsford Act in honor of the Homosa, Florida girl who was allegedly abducted and slain by a convicted sex offender. Either she was abducted and slain or she wasn't abducted and slain. Jessica Lunsford murder is a horrifying example that we need stricter laws for regulating sex offenders, said the bill sponsor, Representative Ginny Brown. Wait, a Florida Republican via her website. While individual states have passed legislation targeting sex offenders and predators, I feel that the need to have strong federal guidelines for states to follow. Just kill them! Kill them! And that way, well, I mean, there's a deterrent. Well, I would start looking at child porn, but it could get me killed! So, you know, that's a real big deterrent right there. Just take these scumbuckets out, rather than using it as an excuse to monitor people. That's you know, my own personal view. But you can make your own call on that. I don't know. Now, in the Frankenfood news, it seems that we're going to start getting into some cannibalism here. Yeah, you know that same thing that brought mad cow disease, feeding cows to cows? Well, it seems now we're going to start feeding humans to humans. In a first modification of its kind, Japanese researchers have inserted a gene from the human liver into rice, enabling it to a human liver, okay, gene has now been embedded into rice, enabling the rice, to digest pesticides and industrial chemicals. I see. The gene makes enzyme codenamed CPYB26, which is particularly good at breaking down harmful chemicals by the body. Present GM crops are modified with genes from bacteria to make them tolerate herbicides, so they're not harmed when the fields are sprayed to kill weeds. But most of them are only able to deal with single herbicide, which means that it can be used over and over again, allowing wields to build up resistances to it. But this way, we put human genes inside the rice, and then we're eating our own genes, which leads to mad cow disease, which is already what's happening with Alzheimer's anyway. That's what Alzheimer's is. I think that Alzheimer's is seriously a myth, and that it's probably just mad cow disease, and I'm not the only one who says so, but, you know, that's okay. Why not? Why don't we just Frankenfood the food right out? We'll, start, eating the Soylent Green brand of rice. Who cares? You know, really, as long as it protects the profits. And spying on the U.S., yet another reason to keep your data secure and to lie about your true name. It seems that according to the May 2nd issue of Newsweek, of all places, the National Security Agency is not supposed to target Americans. When the U.S. citizen comes up on an NSA intercept, the agency routinely minimalizes dissemination of the info by masking the name before it distributes the report to other U.S. agencies. But it is now clear the agency discriminates thousands of U.S. names. U.N. Ambassador nominee John Bolton told the Senate confirmation hearing that he requested U.S. names be unmasked from NSA intercepts on a handful of occasions. The State Department said he's made at least 10 such requests since 2001, and the department has, as a whole, has made 400 similar requests over the same period. But the evidence is emerging that NSA regularly supplies uncensored intercepts, including named Americans, to other agencies far more often than to any many top intel officials even knew. According to information obtained by Newsweek, since January of 2004, the NSA received and fulfilled between 3,000 and 5,000 requests. Oh, pardon me, between 3,000 and 3,500, sorry, got a number wrong there. Requests from other agencies to supply names of U.S. citizens and officials to help the NSA eavesdrop around the world, including Britain, Canada, Australia, that initially were deleted from raw intercept reports. So, essentially, all the other agencies are starting to get together to see the nightmare that is what our privacy has become. It's kind of sad, a little sick, a little weird. But don't be afraid of it. Arm yourself with knowledge. Make sure you start looking into what you need to do to make sure you get a second identity just to protect yourself. It's kind of a crazy thing to do, but there it is. Probably totally illegal. Bear in mind, getting a second identity, I almost guarantee you, will land you in jail. But, you know, it's something you can look at, maybe just for information purposes only. Now, today's daily hack is a good one. Semiolinguistic manipulation in print advertising. Yet another example of how psychological warfare is used on North American people. Advertising may be used as the construction of semiotic words in rhetorical purposes of swaying purchasers to want to buy what is advertised. Print advertising often involves manipulation of linguistic structures and forms to achieve the situation. The author of this particular report I've linked to conducts a linguistic and commercial semiotic analysis of this type of manipulation by means of linguistic foregrounding framework. Several exemplary print advertisements are reviewed and instances of linguistic manipulation are identified, categorized, and explained. The study results in applied interceptive heuristic force semiotically analyzing language phenomena in the advertising genre. It's a pretty wordy summary there, but there it is. And that should give you some edge to deal with all this advertising you have to deal with whenever you read print. And, of course, that translates to the web. It's an older report, but you can see it everywhere you look, including in the news. And there's a link. There's some lizard wares as well. That's all I got for you today, but don't worry. I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information that you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of Fortley, Dave, The Grey Ghost, Dressy, Drake, Philip, Robert, Michael, Melican, Anonymous, Derek, Jesse, Desert Runner, Eric, Steve, Matt, Brandon, Keith, Timor, Malcolm, Peter, Rosalie, Evan, Triad, Matt, Austin, David, Brian, Jonathan, Host, Mojo, Adam, Mark, Trevor, Brandon, Philip, Jonathan, Michael, Dark, Daniel, Art, Diarmude, Justin, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, and Alan. Thank you so much for your support, guys. You have no idea how much good you're really doing and how many lives you're really helping with this broadcast. New subscribers this month: Druid Y, Simmeru, Tara, Dark Nature, Brandon, Jason, Richard, Matt, Jesse, Joseph, Andrew, End User, and Christopher. And bear in mind, folks, don't thank me for this program. You should thank these people whose names I just read out, because without them, this would not happen. I am merely the voice. I work for them. If you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. Every little bit helps. And special thanks to some hard net runners: the Flying Monkey Armada, that was the recce unit for this show, Dead Code, Nightfall Gemini, The Atomic Truth, Sabo, Silich, Ty Cox, Ricky Rocket, Pig Monkey, Lizard, DIX Flatline, Bonsai Poppy, and thanks to Pro for the hookup he gave me the other day with some stuff which I can't list right now for security reasons. Digital baptisms. Today, Wagga War is now known as SETI, and SETI is H-S-E-T-I or S-3-T-1. But it's pronounced SETI, and that has a number of different meanings which you can go from there. Upcoming events: you've got Phoenix Fest and Linux Fest to deal with, don't forget. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the funky album by Junkie XL, Saturday Teenage Kick. Very cool. And I'm going to leave you with a rip from an MP3 track to a Flash movie I've linked to on my live journal, but the MP3 track is really important. It shows one possible evolution of the news. You may or may not have seen this, but you want to go check out the movie as well off the link on my live journal page. And thanks to DIX Flatline for ripping this for me. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.
It is the best of times. It is the worst of times. In the year 2014, people have access to a breadth and depth of information unimaginable in an earlier age. Everyone contributes in some way. Everyone participates to create a living, breathing mediascape. However, the press, as you know it, has ceased to exist. The Fourth Estate's fortunes have waned. 20th century news organizations are an afterthought, a lonely remnant of a not too distant past. The road to 2014 began in the mid-20th century. In 1989, Tim Berners-Lee, a computer scientist at the CERN Particle Physics Laboratory in Switzerland, invents the World Wide Web. 1994 sees the founding of Amazon.com. Its young creator dreams of a store that sells everything. Amazon's model, which would come to set the standard for internet sales, is built on automated, personalized recommendations, a store that can make suggestions. In 1998, two Stanford programmers create Google. Their algorithm echoes the logic of Amazon. It treats links as recommendations, and from that foundation powers the world's most effective search engine. In 1999, TiVo transforms television by unshackling it from the constraints of time and commercials. Almost no one who tries it ever goes back. That year, a dot-com startup named Pyra Labs unveils Blogger, a personal publishing tool. Friendster launches in 2002, and hundreds of thousands of young people rushed to populate it with an incredibly detailed map of their lives, their interests, and their social networks. Also in 2002, Google launches Google News, a news portal. News organizations cry foul. Google News is edited entirely by computers. In 2003, Google buys Blogger. Google's plans are a mystery, but their interest in Blogger is not unreasonable. 2003 is the year of the blog. 2004 would be remembered as the year that everything began. Reason Magazine sends subscribers an issue with a satellite photo of their houses on the cover and information custom tailored to each subscriber inside. Sony and Philips unveil the world's first mass-produced electronic paper. Google unveils Gmail with a gigabyte of free space for every user. Microsoft unveils NewsBot, a social news filter. Amazon unveils A9, a search engine built on Google's technology that also incorporates Amazon's trademark recommendations. And then, Google goes public. Awash in new capital, the company makes a major acquisition. Google buys TiVo. 2005. In response to Google's recent moves, Microsoft buys Friendster. 2006. Google combines all of its services, TiVo, Blogger, Gmail, Google News, and all of its searches into the Google Grid, a universal platform that provides a functionally limitless amount of storage space and bandwidth to store and share media of all kinds, always online, accessible from anywhere. Each user selects her own level of privacy. She can store her content securely on the Google Grid or publish it for all to see. It has never been easier for anyone, everyone, to create as well as consume media. 2007. Microsoft responds to Google's mounting challenge with NewsBotster, a social news network and participatory journalism platform. NewsBotster ranks and sorts news based on what each user's friends and colleagues are reading and viewing, and it allows everyone to comment on what they see. Sony's e-paper is cheaper than real paper this year. It's the medium of choice for NewsBotster. 2008 sees the alliance that will challenge Microsoft's ambitions. Google and Amazon join forces to form GoogleZone. Google supplies the Google Grid, an unparalleled search technology. Amazon supplies a social recommendation engine and its huge commercial infrastructure. Together, they use their detailed knowledge of every user's social network, demographics, consumption habits, and interests to provide total customization of content and advertising. The news wars of 2010 are notable for the fact that no actual news organizations take part. GoogleZone finally checkmates Microsoft with a feature the software giant cannot match. Using a new algorithm, GoogleZone's computers construct news stories dynamically, stripping sentences and facts from all content sources and recombining them. The computer writes a news story for every user. In 2011, the slumbering Fourth Estate awakes to make its first and final stand. The New York Times Company sues GoogleZone, claiming that the company's fact-stripping robots are a violation of copyright law. The case goes all the way to the Supreme Court, which, on August 4th, 2011, decides in favor of GoogleZone. On Sunday, March 9th, 2014, GoogleZone unleashes Epic. Welcome to our world. The evolving personalized information construct is the system by which our sprawling chaotic mediascape is filtered, ordered, and delivered. Everyone contributes now, from blog entries to phone cam images to video reports to full investigations. Many people get paid too. A tiny cut of Google's immense advertising revenue proportional to the popularity of their contributions. Epic produces a custom content package for each user using his choices, his consumption habits, his interests, his demographics, his social network to shape the product. A new generation of freelance editors has sprung up, people who sell their ability to connect, filter, and prioritize the contents of Epic. We all subscribe to many editors. Epic allows us to mix and match their choices however we like. At its best, edited for the savviest readers, Epic is a summary of the world deeper, broader, and more nuanced than anything ever available before. But at its worst, and for too many, Epic is merely a collection of trivia, much of it untrue, all of it narrow, shallow, and sensational. But Epic is what we wanted, it is what we chose, and its commercial success preempted any discussions of media and democracy or journalistic ethics. Today, in 2014, the New York Times has gone offline. In feeble protest to Google's Onn's hegemony, the Times has become a print-only newsletter for the elite and the elderly. But perhaps there was another way.